Good Wednesday afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Sports Talk in the Icebox. I'm your host, Jeff Safford, here with you this afternoon on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. We had a little bit of rain yesterday here in San Rafael, nothing really to write home about. One really kind of big storm, and that was it. Kind of for about 15 minutes. I was luckily in class while that was going on, just kind of heard it on the roof. It was like, what the heck's going on here? It's raining. But, you know, and then when I walked outside, it was clear as a bell. You know, nothing going on. Kind of bizarre there. But we got a lot of fun stuff to get to today. Some big news kind of off the field and in courts happening. Came into the news today as to do with the Boston Marathon bombings a couple years ago. As that's coming up down in the Massachusetts area, the Boston Marathon, just in a couple weeks. And then after we get to that, we're going to recap the women's national championship game from last night and also the men's game from Monday, just kind of touch on the champions, Duke, the winner in the men's, and UConn, the winners for the third straight year, three-peat for their program. Then after we get into that, we're going to get into some Major League Baseball news. Opening day on Monday, that was the first day of, the first game was actually on Sunday night, but everybody else got it going on Monday. The Giants and the A's back in action after a long and much-needed offseason. We're going to get into how those two teams are doing and look at what's coming up for the rest of the league tonight. And then we're going to get into some NBA basketball. We got the playoffs right around the corner next week. A couple teams still fighting for playoff seeds and trying to get into the field all together to get a chance at the NBA championship. And then we're going to wrap up the show, talk about a sport we don't talk about a whole lot here on this program, or really at all, is golf. We got the Masters coming up this weekend. First round coverage starts tomorrow in the morning from Augusta National out in Augusta, Georgia. The Masters, one of those tournaments, I don't care if you're a golf fan or not. I think it's a great tournament, great sport to watch, great, you know, it's got a lot of intrigue. I mean, a lot of history. The tournament usually comes down to the last day. It's really exciting, you know, and the golf course can really provide for some magical moments as well. So we'll talk a little about the Masters, maybe some players to watch for. You know, Tiger's coming back also, so it's going to be some interesting things to unfolding down in Georgia. All right. Well, like I mentioned, we're going to start with the story, kind of a big news story, almost kind of transcending just sports itself, has become like a big news story in general. The Boston bombings back in 2013, obviously a big story. It was, you know, bad tragedy. Many people were hurt. Number of people losing their lives and losing, you know, legs and arms. And it was just a horrible situation down there at the finish line. And it was really a rallying call for the city of Boston, Boston Strong, that kind of came along with it. You know, you saw David Ortiz come out and say, this is our effing city. You know, I wish I could just say it the way he said it, but then I would probably get Stu Horn, our faculty advisor, angry at me. but speaking of the Boston bombing, one of the suspects that was involved in the bombing, a man named Zohar Tsarnaev. Yeah, Zohar Tsarnaev. I was practicing the name before the show. I might have butchered it, but anyway, he was found guilty of all 30 charges that were put against him for the Boston bombing trial, which would mean he would face either A, life in prison, or B, he would be set to the death penalty. Now, the sentencing has yet to occur. He has just been found guilty of all 30 of those counts now, he will be sent to jail and put into custody for the charges, and he will wait for a sentencing hearing where he will find if he will spend the rest of his life in prison or if he will face a death penalty. And if he were to be shown to a life in prison, he would most likely be kept in a federal penitentiary type of situation, max protection facility, where he would hardly see the light of day at all. He'd be pretty much locked up in a small cell in solitary confinement for the rest of his life, or he would spend that time while he was waiting to be executed. So definitely life looking bleak for a man that caused a lot of pain in a lot of different ways in the Boston community. And I'm sure that, frankly, there are a lot of Boston people that are happy that this is going to be over and that they do not have to hear about this story anymore. That it's one of those stories that just kind of leaves a bad taste in your mouth, similar to what 9/11 did for this country. I mean, it was just, whenever you bring up the Boston bombing, it's just a lot of bad memories come flowing back of all the videos of showing the explosion happening and just the chaos and that ensued with that attack. And it's something that you never want to see happen in sports, let alone just in your community in general as well. Now to segue into a completely different and probably a little bit more cheery, I guess you could say a little bit more upbeat tone. You could say that looking at the two national champions, the UConn women did it again last night, defeating Notre Dame, while the Duke men won on Monday night in a really good game between them and the Badgers of Wisconsin. Congratulations to both of those teams. Interesting, because both of those coaches are very, really highly regarded and are pretty much at the top of both of their sports. When you look at Coach K, Mike Krzyzewski for Duke, and Gina Auriemma for the Connecticut Huskies. And with the win, Auriemma tied John Wooden for the most NCAA championships won as a coach. He has now won 10, which matches him with the great John Wooden. So a very, very huge accomplishment there. Of course, John Wooden went 10-0 in national championship appearances, which is a statistic that seems crazy. And Coach K won his 5th national championship. Obviously, Coach K has over 900 victories in Division I. So does Auriemma as well. He's won over 900 games with UConn as well. So Krzyzewski with 5. Doesn't find himself in the top 3 in championships won. It is actually John Wooden at first. Auriemma is in there as well, along with Pat Summitt, who has won 8 championships to her credit, the old retired coach from the Tennessee Volunteers. But focusing on Coach K and Auriemma, it's kind of interesting how these two coaches have become such icons in both of their programs. They're almost more iconic than the program itself. You look at Duke basketball and you think Coach K. The same can be said with UConn women's basketball. And I mean, just the success that those two coaches are having and have had, you know, it's like the University of Krzyzewski and the University of Auriemma. It's like interesting to look at the two teams, but and both coaches are kind of different. I have to say, Auriemma is very, very humble. He's, you know, one of those guys that does not want to be put on a pedestal, you know, does not talk to the media all that often, but is very frank and honest. You know, he's not afraid to say what a lot of other coaches are, where Coach K is very open and very open with the media and, is like a basketball god. He coaches, you know, the USA men's team at the Olympics. You know, he has his own program on the radio called Basketball and Beyond, where he hosts, and he's on every week. You know, he brings on like notable guests from around the sports world. So this guy is, Coach K is definitely a guy that doesn't hide under a rock, so to speak. He likes to be out and be seen, which, you know, is totally different from Ariyama, which is kind of an interesting twist, I think, when you look at the two guys side to side. The one thing that's been kind of looked at in a negative way, at least by one of his counterparts, Bo Ryan, was the one and done philosophy that Coach K has been using, and Coach K kind of fired back saying that that's not really what they're doing. You know, I don't know how much, you know, press or attention these comments should make, but I don't really see Duke as a one and done type of place. Yeah, they've had players like Kyrie Irving and Jabari Parker. Now we'll have guys like Jahlil Okafor who will leave early, but what I think what makes Duke Duke are these glue players that are on their teams. You know, the Greg Paulises, and, you know, or who's another, or Zebek, or, you know, even going back all the way to Christian Laettner. These guys weren't like the greatest athletes. They weren't McDonald's All-Americans. You know, and during the regular season, they're not going to score 25 points. But what they can do is they can step up in big situations. And Duke seems time and time again to have those role players that come in and step up for their teams. And, I mean, you see it all the time with Duke teams. It just seems like it happens all the time. And it happened on Monday night with their team as well. They had role players step in and play a big role in the game. The biggest one has to be, and you look like Tyus Jones scored 23, or Allen coming off the bench scoring 16 points. The freshman guard looked like he was about 12 years old. But, you know, Duke just kind of finds a way to win. You can't argue against it. Now, obviously, it's going to be kind of a long off season for college basketball, but, you know, 7 months till the next college basketball game, but it's never too early to look at teams that may make a splash next year. Obviously, I think Virginia will be a good team to look at, and Kentucky, depending on how many players decide to leave or stay. You know, obviously they think Towns is leaving, and Colley Stein, and the two Harrison brothers have already said they're leaving for the NBA, and it'll just be interesting to see who is left and what type of players will be coming up to replace the players that are leaving for the Wildcats. But Bo Ryan, he's going to have a lot to do. Both Kaminsky and Sam Decker are on their way out for the Badgers, so maybe a little bit of a step backward this next coming year for Wisconsin. You know, give props to them as well. They had a great year this year and, you know, battled, and I think they frankly just ran out of gas in the national championship game. They did not look good offensively down the stretch and just could not get those big buckets down the stretch that you really need to win those type of games. And, you know, Duke, you know, I think finished the game, I think, in a 29-15 run, and, you know, that was the key to the game. You know, Wisconsin led for the majority of the game, but Duke kind of finished strong when it really counted, and sometimes that's what really kind of propels you to a national title, and it did in this case for Duke. All right, well, that's just going to about do it for our first segment. We're going to say goodbye to college basketball for a long time. That's been a big focus on our show as we've kind of been coming down the stretch, you know, came into March, and now March Madness is officially over, even though it finished in the first full week of April. But it was a good ride. Duke wins the championship. Sure, we'll see some more college basketball fun next November, and I'm sure that will be a focus of all sports talk at that point. We're going to hit the break here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. When we come back, we're going to be talking some Major League Baseball, so stay tuned here on Penguin Radio.
It takes 12 years to create a graduate. It takes about the same time to create a dropout. The difference between a child becoming one or the other could be you. Studies prove that reading to a child regularly dramatically improves reading skills. And kids who read well by third grade are four times as likely to graduate. So United Way is calling for 1 million volunteers over the next 3 years. We're asking you to step up, make a pledge, tutor a child who needs help, mentor a kid who needs someone on their side, volunteer to read to children, make a difference. Because when a child advances, we all advance. Entire communities improve. The path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Be a reader, tutor or mentor. Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge. Go to liveunited.org now. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey kids, let mom help with your science project.
This new mom wants her kids' science project to thrive. Too bad she hasn't cracked a science book since 1985.
A metathesis reaction?
Compounds, mixtures, and elements. Even this baking soda volcano is too big of an experiment. Whoa. Now she's completely forgotten the periodic table. Now she's burning a hole through the kitchen table.
Burning with science.
But her kids' love for their mom is truly transparent. Proof you don't have to be perfect to be the perfect parent.
Don't tell Dad.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of siblings in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
What's that on that beat? Hope.
Welcome back to the show here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. This is Sports Talk in the Icebox. I'm your host, Jeff Safford. You just listened to a little bit of a breakdown on the story with the Boston bombing, and also breaking down a little bit the men's and women's NCAA basketball championship. Duke winners in the men's, and UConn the winners in the women's side, UConn winning their third straight national championship in women's basketball. And we're about to segue now into our next segment, the Major League Baseball segment. We haven't talked a lot about baseball here thus far this season with the spring training going on. We've hit on it a number of times with stories that have come out. But now the season has begun, opening day. You know, a lot of baseball teams had their opening day festivities, first home games. You know, I'm sure there will be some more coming up through the weekend and also into early next week. The Giants have their opening day on next Monday, I believe. Yes, next Monday against the Colorado Rockies. And the Giants opened up their season on Monday night against the Arizona Diamondbacks, the other local team, the Oakland Athletics. They are in a four-game series. They actually started their season at the Coliseum. And they faced the Texas Rangers, a division foe, and the Giants playing against another division foe, both in the NL and AL West, both their divisions respectively, playing against the Diamondbacks out in Arizona. Both teams have split their first two games. The Giants winning in game one of the series. Madison Bumgarner looked good. Got through seven innings, only gave up the one run. Got a little bit hairy at the end, but the Giants held on to win 5-4. And then the A's also saw another great pitching performance from Sonny Gray. Went eight innings and took a no-hitter into the eighth inning, trying to become the first pitcher in many, many years to pitch a no-no on opening day, but was not to be, only gave up the one hit. And that was the only hit that Texas had in the entire game. Oakland came out victorious in that one as well, 7-0. Last night, both teams losing. The Giants falling to the Diamondbacks in another pretty close one-run game. They lost 7-6. Ryan Vogelsong, pitching for the Giants, got the loss. And Jorge De La Rosa got the win for Arizona. And last night for the A's lost in a relatively close game by a score of 3-1. The A's faced Kobe Lewis. Lewis has had some injury problems, but looked pretty darn good last night. Pitched six innings, only allowing the one run. And both teams will now look to get off the schneid tonight. Other action going on in Major League Baseball that is of note. The already a couple of final scores. The Tigers smacked the Twins today. Sanchez got the win, Nolasco the loss for the Twins. And there was a bunch of guys in the action. Ian Kinsler had a big afternoon. Had three hits in the game. And just an overall dominating performance. The Tigers have won their first two games against the Twins and the Cubs. Picked up a win today. Arrieta throwing a shutout for the Cubs. And his innings of work looked like, looks like Arrieta went seven strikeouts, and the bullpen for the Cubs also pitched three shutout innings. So those are the games that have already gone final in Major League Baseball. You got the Red Sox and Phillies coming up in about a half hour on ESPN. Red Sox took the first game of that series. Blue Jays and Yankees from Yankee Stadium. The Angels and the Mariners coming up at 7 o'clock nightcap. A couple of late games. And then the Padres and the Dodgers playing that series as well. Andrew Cashner against XA Brandon McCarthy in that series out in L.A. Kind of a interesting, going back to the Giants, Chris Henston will be getting the start for them. He'll be facing 2011 Rookie of the Year Jeremy Hellickson from the Rays. A's, Rays, it kind of rhymes, right? but Heston really has not had much experience at the big league level. Started, I think, once or twice last year for the Giants, and will be starting tonight mainly because of injury. Jake Peavy had his start pushed back because of back tightness, and now it is reported today that Matt Cain will be headed to the 15-day disabled list with tightness in his forearm, which is not a good sign for Cain as he tries to battle back from an injury-plagued 2014 where he was out for a lot of the year, and when Cain was in, he really was not very effective either. And the Giants, it's a big story with them that the defending champs are going to have to deal with these injuries, and they're dealing with a lot of them. You got Matt Cain, Jake Peavy is out, Hunter Pence went out with that broken forearm in spring training. Brandon Belt just got injured last night. He kind of came up lame on a pop fly foul ball. It was really a bizarre play. He wasn't really running very fast, but there was a ball hit over his head kind of towards the bullpen down the right field line, and as he was starting to jog over, he didn't jog hardly a couple of yards, and he just pulled up lame on that back, and started holding the back of his leg like around his quad. And sometimes those are the worst injury. It doesn't look to be too serious, so hopefully Brandon Belt will be more of a day-to-day type of a deal, but still, the Giants are dealing with a lot of injury problems right now, and something that's tough to deal with, something that Bruce Pochy has said that it's like nothing that he's ever dealt with as a manager in the early goings of a season, but this could be something that could be very important for the Giants. You know, you would hope at some point that everybody would be coming back. A lot of these key guys on this roster will be coming back at some point in this season. You know, you don't know when that's going to be. Some guys are more or less a question mark. Hunter Pence, you'd think, will come back pretty close to 100%. You know, he broke a bone, and he's a tough guy and really great competitor. You don't expect many problems from him. But guys like Kane, who have a history of injury, or Jake Peavy, who's, you know, getting a little long in the tooth, or Tim Hudson, who's over 40, you know, those guys are a little bit more of a question mark. But how the Giants respond to the guys that are playing, guys like Joe Panik, Buster Posey, Pagan, these guys that have been around, it's going to be up to them to really decide how this season will go. If they can right the ship and not let the team get in this big hole early in the year and allow these guys to get healthy and come back from injury, then I think the Giants can have a successful year. Yeah, they're going to be playing in a pretty tough division. You know, the Padres look to be poised to make it, to have a pretty good year. The Dodgers are going to be the Dodgers. They're going to be another great team that they're going to have to deal with. The defending NL West champs, a lot of people forgot that, it seems, with the Giants having their success in the postseason. But Dodgers still a very good club, and the D-backs will had the worst league in the majors. They'll probably be better this year. A little bit more starting pitching depth and a little bit more help offensively, especially swinging the bat with power. I mean, we saw that last night with the Diamondbacks. They had 2 3-run bombs, and that was really the key to the game, I think. Vogelsong, really, I think, you know, talking about his performance from last night, he didn't pitch all that bad, in my opinion. You know, he gave up a decent number of hits, but, you know, threw 5, kept his club in the game, you know. And, you know, it was just really those really 2 swing of the bats where he really got tagged. And granted, those pitches were hangers. Both of them were just meatballs right over the plate. But, you know, if that's, you know, this point in the season, it's good to see that Vogelsong can still be effective, especially with where the Giants pitching staff is right now, with all the injuries and things. And one guy we saw last night pitch was Yusmeiro Petit. He came out of the bullpen, pitched a couple innings. I wouldn't be surprised if we see him start a little bit more if these injury problems keep going. Because one thing the Giants will have to do is keep these arms fresh that they have and get a solid rotation. And looking at the team across the bay, the Oakland Athletics, they're another team that, you know, had some success last year, that, you know, won the division last season but lost a lot of players, lost Donaldson, Cespedes, lost him late in the year, you know, with that trade to Boston, kind of a crazy trade. And they also lost catcher Norris as well, and a couple pitchers, Jeff Samardzija and John Lester, 2 pitchers. So, but the one thing that the A's kind of seem to do, even though their budget is always low, they always find these kind of diamonds in the rough. They got Ben Zorbas, a quality second baseman. They got Butler from the Kansas City Royals when he's healthy, a great hitter. You know, they got guys like Kashmir and Sonny Gray in their starting rotation that I think Oakland can really do well again. It's a team that is relatively healthy going into this year, almost polar opposite than the Giants. And I've heard a lot of people say it, and I kind of agree, that I think the Oakland Athletics have a chance to be the better team in the Bay in the regular season as they were a year ago, finishing with towards the end of the year, finished at about even record-wise, the 2 clubs. But I really think that the A's have a good chance in being at being better than the Giants. I think both teams probably should be in the postseason, but it wouldn't surprise me if the A's finish with in a better seed, or you know, if they won the division and the Giants got a wild card spot again, or whatever the case may be. I think the A's have a lot of solid professionals, and they have good pitching, a great manager in Bob Melvin, and I expect good things of him down the road, and continued success early in this season. They will look to take the first two out of three games tonight against the Rangers. It's a four-game series, so win tonight would not wrap up the series, but it is a step to doing so, to hopefully taking three out of four. One man I just mentioned, Scott Kazmir, will be on the mound tonight, his first start for the A's coming up this evening. He'll be pitching against Ross Detwiller for the Texas Rangers. All right, that's going to wrap it up for this Major League Baseball segment. Mentioned a couple interesting games to watch tonight, the Rockies Brewers, Red Sox Royals, Red Sox Phillies, you know, the Blue Jays and the Yankees, Padres Dodgers, lots of games to watch tonight. The Giants in action against the Diamondbacks, the A's against the Rangers. A lot of stuff to watch, a lot of stuff to get to for the weekend. We'll try to wrap up some more baseball talk with the local teams and sprinkle in some other national news next week as well, so make sure you tune in for that. And we're going to take a break right now, and when we come back, we're going to talk about some NBA basketball, some talk about the Warriors, their game against the Pelicans last night, and some playoff scenarios for the West and East, and some other news off the court as well. So stay tuned. You're listening to Sports Talk in the Icebox here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. We'll be right back after these words.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, "Hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it." That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Hey, Dr. Phil here. You know, I help people solve difficult problems every day, but one problem has me stumped: childhood hunger. Nearly 16 million children in America struggle with it. Luckily, the Feeding America network of local food banks collects surplus food, giving hope to hungry children and their families. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Josh Groban. My favorite thing about music is its ability to inspire and nourish the soul. That's why I'm proud to work with Feeding America, an organization that inspires hope for families in need and helps nourish the 16 million kids in this country struggling with hunger. The Feeding America nationwide network of food banks gathers surplus food and helps get it to kids in need, but they can't do it alone. Find out how you can help at feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everybody, to the show. This is Sports Talk in the Icebox here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu, live from the studio here on campus of the Dominican University of California. Another great California day. sunny skies. We've had a little bit of uneasy weather here this week. Mentioned that early in the show, but nice day here this afternoon. We've got another full show for you. We've hit on some NCAA basketball, just finished up a Major League Baseball segment. Felt good to do one of those with the season underway. And now we're about to get to some NBA talk as the NBA regular season starts to wind down. Playoffs starting next weekend. The Warriors play their last game a week from today, actually, against the Denver Nuggets at Oracle. That's their last regular season game. And the rest of the NBA will end around the same time. I think the last day of the regular season is Thursday, and the postseason starting on Friday and Saturday for the NBA. I actually think it all starts on that Saturday. Check that, I think. I don't think there's any games on Sunday. Or Friday, excuse me. Jeez, I'm getting my days all messed up here. Anyway, got a couple of interesting games to look at in the NBA tonight. The Bulls and Magic. Why is that game relevant? We'll get to that in just a minute. The Celtics and the Pistons. From the Palace Auburn Hills, the Celtics actually hold the last seed in the playoffs. So the Celtics need every game they can get at this point, playing against the Pistons, the game they should win, favored by a point and a half by Las Vegas. And Boston, a much better team, and has really played pretty decent coming down the stretch. Here they've won three of their last four games, winning the last game in a really heroic fashion on a buzzer beater by Marcus Smart at Toronto by score 117-116. So they will look to keep that going against the Pistons. The Pelicans picked up a big win last night against the Golden State Warriors. Will look to pick up another big win, this time on the road against the Memphis Grizzlies. The Rockets and the Spurs. Maybe a possible playoff matchup somewhere down the road. They're getting it cooking from the AT&T Center down in San Antonio. The Spurs, you know, looking like they're playing some of their best basketball at the right time of the year. And then another notable game, the Suns and the Mavericks. That game will be on ESPN at 6:30. Suns pretty much out of the playoff picture, but the Mavericks trying to play for seeding. And to look at the seeds from both conferences, we'll start out east. Atlanta has clinched the number one seed. Cleveland is in the number two spot. And you can pretty much pencil down the number two seed as well. As Chicago, the three seed, is four games behind Cleveland. Toronto in the fourth spot, one game behind Chicago. Washington in the fifth spot, one game behind Toronto. So the 3-4-5 spots could change a little bit. Then you got Milwaukee in the sixth spot. And Boston, Brooklyn, in the seventh spot. And Boston in the number eight spot. With Miami only a half game behind, and Indiana a full game behind. Even throw Charlotte into that conversation, with them being two games behind the Celtics for that eighth spot. So it's going to get pretty wild coming down the stretch. And Boston only is a one game behind Brooklyn as well for the number seven seed. So still a lot of stuff to unfold here. And who would have thought with the Celtics, you know, that they'd be in this position? Obviously, the record isn't all that impressive at 35-42, but hey, you know, they're fighting for a playoff spot. And with the young roster they have and still the draft picks they have on deck coming up, like, this team could be one to watch coming up in the near future. You see Marcus Smart show glimpses of being something good. You know, he's missed a lot of time this season with injury, but they have other young players in this team. Kelly Olynyk has really looked good for Boston, and along with other role players, as well, really stepped up. You know, Jared Sullinger has continued to have success. And just a, you know, and all the draft picks they've compiled from all these trades, I think that Danny Ainge probably made the right moves doing what he did. And now the Celtics will have money and draft picks to try to really build another great dynasty in Boston. And I think that they can do it. You know, with the resources that they're going to have and the draft picks, I think they can definitely build a winner. And I tell you what, if Atlanta ends up playing Boston, you know that Boston's going to play hard and have a chip on their shoulder. I mean, they're going to go out there playing with nothing to lose. It's a young team. They're just going to try to go out there and play their best. You know, they're not going to have the pressure of being a number one seed. You know, nobody's going to expect much out of them. You know, they're all young players that haven't been there before. You know, might as well just throw ambition to the wind and try to do something special. And on the western side of the bracket, the seeds look like this. You have Golden State, who's already clinched the Pacific and the number one seed. Houston in the number two spot. Memphis in the number three spot, just one game behind Houston. Portland in the number four spot with the Clippers, two and a half games behind Portland. And then you have the Spurs in the sixth spot, but just one half game behind the Clippers. Dallas in the seventh spot, and then New Orleans down in the number eighth spot. OKC now trailing by a game and a half for that run for the number eight seed. It's pretty much come down to two teams now. Phoenix, three games behind Oklahoma City, and three and a half behind New Orleans. Pretty much a lost cause for them. You know, they had a pretty decent season, but 500 isn't going to cut it in the Western Conference like it does in the East. You know, they'd be around a number six seed. Phoenix would be in the Eastern Conference. You look at Milwaukee, the close team with the closest record at 38-39. They're solidly into the field. So just kind of interesting to look at the disparity between the two conferences. But you know, it's going to be interesting to see who wins this battle coming down the stretch for the last couple playoff spots. You know, the East, it's going to be interesting with multiple teams. And also, you know, you got the Pelicans a game and a half, a little bit of separation on the Thunder. And yeah, the Pelicans definitely do have a tougher schedule coming down the stretch than the Thunder do. But I don't see why not. I don't see why the Pelicans can't make it if they keep playing like they did last night. I mean, the game they played last night against the Warriors was a very solid effort. You know, it was a game where they got a lot of production from guys that weren't named Anthony Davis. Ryan Anderson was pretty hot last night, hit a number of threes. Tyreek Evans did his job. Eric Gordon, Omer Asik did pretty good underneath for the Pelicans. You know, a lot of guys stepping up and playing well on both sides of the ball, playing good defense, rebounding, and good offense. And then this is a team that, you know, if they get hot at the right time, you never know. You know, maybe they'll challenge a team like Golden State if they get that number eight seed and get into the playoffs. You know, it's going to be not an easy series for Golden State. And I know the Warriors are trying to downplay with all their might this, you know, they've already clinched the number one seed. So that means that a lot of teams could take their foot off the gas. Take their foot off the gas pedal, but that's not going to be the Warriors. I understand that they're trying to really downgrade that, but I mean, saying it and actually having it affect you is two different things. I mean, the Warriors are going to have a very long time now where they have everything all wrapped up, that these regular season games really mean nothing, just wins and losses and the loss in the record column, that you know, they could lose every game from now until the end of the year and it would not affect them in the slightest, you know. But the Pelicans, on the other hand, they're playing for their life every night. The playoffs, in their minds, has already started. You know, every game is a must-win. And, you know, so they're going to come in with a lot of confidence if they make this playoff run, come in with a lot of confidence in playing good basketball. And we'll see if they can give a challenge to the Warriors. And one thing that the Warriors, I think, have to look at, that remind themselves that even though they've had all the success, that, hey, they're still playing in the Western Conference. It's still the best conference in basketball, and I don't think that they can expect an easy series anywhere in the playoffs. I think every series is going to be a new challenge and is going to be tough, and I think that the Warriors are going to need to be at the top of their game mentally and physically to make a run for the championship here, and that run will start next weekend for the Golden State Warriors. A couple other newsworthy things going on in the NBA. Derrick Rose, the reason that's why I mentioned the Bulls playing the Magic tonight, the star point guard, will see some action tonight after coming back from surgery on his left knee, his first game back in action. Coming tonight, he is expected to play around 20 minutes tonight. So there's another team that has performed okay, has been 10-10 since Rose left on February 27th, so call it right at the beginning of March. But this team still finds itself in the third seed, so pretty good position playoff-wise. I'm sure they'll try to hold on to that third seed. You know, and if Rose is healthy and he can come back and be an impact player for the Bulls like he's been in the past, I think the Bulls can be as good as anybody in the playoffs, and it'll just be a matter of Derrick Rose getting his rhythm back. So you don't expect them to face a really tough opponent in the first week, or the first round of the playoffs, I should say. They, you know, with or without Derrick Rose, they should be able to cruise to a first-round win. But you'd hope it from now until they play a team like the Cavaliers or Toronto or one of the better teams in the East, that Derrick Rose would be ready so that they can make a run for a championship. It'll just be something to keep an eye on. And then another story happened off the court. Chris Corpland, a forward for the Indiana Pacers, was actually stabbed outside of a New York City nightclub. One OAK, I don't know if it's One Oak or if it's just OAK, the OAK are capital letters. He was stabbed along with his girlfriend and another accomplice, and two other NBA players, Tabo Cephalosha and Pero Antic from the Atlanta Hawks, were arrested, also connected to the stabbing, for resisting arrest, disorderly conduct, and obstructing government administration. So don't worry, they weren't involved in the stabbing. But, you know, it's probably classic. They came out kind of inebriated, for lack of a better term, out of the club. They see one of the guys they know, you know, another player in the NBA. They see him involved with the stabbing. They probably rush the scene, get all angry, and get in trouble with the cops. And that's how the cookie crumbles sometimes with those type of deals. So Corpland was stabbed. He is in good condition at the hospital as we speak, and we wish him all the best after kind of a bizarre situation. Okay, we got one more segment left of the show. We're going to talk about some Masters golf after this break. We'll be right back here on Penguin Radio. You're listening to Sports Talk in the Icebox here on radio.dominican.edu. Stay with us.
In chemistry, I learned that no one likes me. In English, I learned that I'm disgusting. And in physics, I learned that I'm a loser.
Today in school, I learned that I'm ugly and useless. And in gym, I learned that I'm pathetic and a joke. In history, I learned that I'm trash.
Today in school, I learned that I have no friends. In English, I learned that I make people sick. And at lunch, I learned that I sit on my own because I smell. In chemistry, I learned that no one likes
me. In biology, I learned that I'm fat and stupid. And in math, I learned that I'm trash.
The only thing I didn't learn in school today...
The only thing I didn't learn today...
The only thing I didn't learn...
is why no one ever helps.
Kids witness bullying every day. They want to help, but they don't know how. Teach them how to stop bullying and be more than a bystander at stopbullying.gov. A message from the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the show. This is Sports Talk in the Icebox here on Penguin Radio, radio.dominican.edu. And oh, isn't that music just so soothing? This is the Masters theme music for anybody that's been living under a rock for the past 10 years or so. This is the biggest weekend of the year for golf. I would say the Masters tournament being the biggest major. Golf isn't really super huge on saying that. They're not really huge on saying if any of their tournaments are the biggest. You know, they kind of want to frame all of their majors, the PGA Championship, the U.S., and the British Open, along with the Masters, all kind of being equal. But I'm sure if you would ask most sports fans, the Masters is the biggest of the year. The Masters, the once a year tournament, takes place at Augusta National Golf Club. And what's kind of unique about the Masters is that it's held at one course and only one course. It doesn't bounce around from location to location. The Masters is Augusta and should be another very fun Masters week. You know, first round coverage starts tomorrow bright and early in the morning, especially here on the West Coast. I think guys will be teeing off at as early as 5:30, 6 in the morning here, 8 or 9 in the morning in the East Coast, or maybe even earlier than that. I haven't looked at a lot of the official tee times, but kind of the big buzz around the tournament, Tiger Woods, after missing a lot of time with back injuries, we'll give it a go this week at Augusta. You know, a good week for him to do so. I would think he's had a lot of success there. And, you know, and he still is one of the best golfers in the world. Obviously, he's had a lot of injuries that have held him back over the last 4 or 5 years since he's last won a major. But I'm fully confident that he can still win and can still get back to where he was as Tiger Woods. You know, he might be a little bit different player, but I still think that he can get there. I mean, he's not ancient, especially not by a golfer's standards, still in his early to mid-30s. He's probably still got at least a good 10 years left in him if he can stay healthy. So that's someone to watch. The par 3 contest is underway today. Tiger Woods was out there with his two kids. Jack Nicklaus actually got a hole-in-one. You know, the par 3 contest means nothing for the tournament. It's more an event for the fans. But it's always kind of fun. You see a lot of these old guys out there like Jack Nicklaus, Gary Player, you know, Arnold Palmer, all these old great golfers from the past are back out on the course, giving the fans a couple bows and, you know, bows that they deserve. And you know, one of the other traditions with the Masters is the Masters Club dinner that took place last night. They always serve it in honor of last year's winner, Bubba Watson. And Bubba Watson also makes the menu. And I actually saw pictures of what the menu was. And I have to say this, but even though it doesn't have that much of a bearing on the tournament, his menu is terrible. Like, I'm sorry, like, this is the Masters Club dinner, and, you know, maybe I'm a little gluttonous, but if I'm getting this dinner from the Masters, from Augusta National, a course that's got more money than it knows to do with, if they're going to host me a dinner, I'm bringing out all the stops. You know, I'm getting some truffles in there. I'm getting, you know, a Wagyu steak, or, you know, a super expensive piece of fish, or, you know, I'm getting some expensive stuff in there because, I mean, hey, this dinner is for me and I'm going to make it really extravagant. Listen to this boring menu. You got a Caesar salad. Boo. Like, I mean, nothing wrong with a Caesar salad, but it's kind of plain. But this is where it gets me in the next two things. You got grilled chicken breast. Like, that's so boring. With green beans, corns, mashed potatoes. Like, that's like the most plain Jane, like, meal that you could think of. Not that there's anything wrong with it, but you can find that on a lot of, you know, average American tables around the country. Like, for a Masters Club dinner where Arnold Palmer and all Tom Watson, all these Fred Couples, all these legends that are there, like, I would think that I would want to have, like, a really nice entree. And then confetti cake with vanilla ice cream. I mean, how more vanilla can you get? I mean, confetti cake is literally just white cake. Come on. But so don't want to get too wrapped up in that, but I just thought I'd mention, like, she just kind of struck me as boring. The Masters, you know, first round, like I mentioned, first round coverage starts tomorrow. Couple guys maybe to watch. Obviously, Rory McIlroy will try to break the ice, as he's been in the running a number of different years, but has seen crumblings, for lack of better words, on Sunday. I think another guy to look for, Jordan Spieth, who was in the running last year, has had a lot of success this year, has been high on a lot of leaderboards, has won a tournament. I think he won it at Doral, I want to say. I know he won one at one of those Florida tournaments. And another guy I want to keep an eye on, he can't not, is Phil Mickelson. You know, Phil, not the youngest guy, but had a pretty good week at the Houston Open, Shell Houston Open last week. Was up high on the leaderboards for a lot of the weekend, which tells me that his golf game's in a good place. And if Phil Mickelson's golf game is in a good place going at Augusta, then you would think that would be a good sign for him. And then another guy to look for, Lee Westwood. Lee Westwood, a guy that's maybe not as big of a name as those other guys I mentioned, Spieth and McIlroy. But Westwood, a player from the United Kingdom, a guy that's really had a lot of success, but not a lot of success at winning majors in particular. But the Masters, he always seems to be in the running. Every year, you know, he's close to the top of the leaderboard, who is the leader for a long time, but never has, you know, crossed that plane, got over the hump to win the tournament. Kind of similar to McIlroy or a Greg Norman as well. And that's another thing that's kind of special about this golf course, is that it can be so rewarding and so challenging at the same time. You know, if you can get it through Amen Corner without, you know, completely destroying your round, then you can get an eagle in one of the par fives. But, you know, it's just an interesting thing with that course, and it'll definitely be a fun tournament to watch. Okay, that's going to just about do it for our show here this afternoon. I'm out of time. Stay tuned for Ball is Life. That's coming up in just a minute. Just saw them come into the studio, actually. Kind of funny. It couldn't have been betterly timed. All right, for Sports Talk in the Icebox, I'm Jeff Safford. Have a great Wednesday afternoon, and stay tuned for Ball is Life. Have a good one.